Did you know that there are laws that govern how God's power flows in your life? Most people aren't aware of that. They think it's just up to God. He chooses to bless one and not another, but that's not so. There are laws that govern all of this, so stay tuned. Welcome to another Charis Daily program. I'm Andrew Womack, and all of this month, all of the instructors here at Charis Bible College, we've been teaching Bible studies on God wants you well, on the fact that it is God's will for you to be well. And if you've missed any of these programs, I encourage you to please check out our archives, because we've got people, Barry Bennett is a person that basically was just an hour or two away from death, and he was able to recover. Greg Moore has been teaching, and Greg Moore has been healed of sepsis. I was actually involved in praying with him. I wasn't the one that went and laid hands on him, but we prayed for him, and we had people from our Bible school in Jacksonville go pray. And I mean, he was raised up with just an hour or two left to live. And of course, I've seen my son raised from the dead after being dead for over 4 hours. And so the people who've been sharing with you are people that not only have theory about healing, but people who have lived it. And so I believe that these programs really could make a huge, huge difference in your life. So check it out. We've got all of our Bible studies that are archived, and you can go there and check out CharisDailyGTN.com, and you can watch all of those, and that would be a blessing. What I want to share with you today is something that really has been a tremendous help with me. And that is it. First of all, I had to believe that it was God's will to heal, and not just heal some, but heal all. I had to quit putting faith in my faith and trying to get God to heal me based on what I'd done. Because the moment you start pointing to yourself and saying, God, I've done this and this and this, and now I deserve your healing power. The moment you start putting the responsibility for that healing upon your shoulders, I can guarantee you Satan is going to find a chink in your armor. He's going to find something that you haven't done right. And if you wait until you get everything perfect and you think you have to do everything just right before God can heal you, you'll never get healed. You have to start putting faith in what God has done for you. Put faith in God's grace instead of faith in your effort. So those are two major hurdles that I overcame. But then even after I began to start understanding those things, the fact that you pray for healing and you don't see it, like whether this is in your own self and there is a delay in between the time you pray and ask and when you see it manifest, or if it's you praying for some other person and you pray for them and instead of them being healed, they wind up continuing in that situation or they actually die. You've got this conflict between what you see and what you have in the Word of God as the promises. And most people are more swayed by their personal experience than they are by the Word of God. Most people interpret the Word of God by their experiences. The truth is we need to interpret our experiences by the Word of God. One of the things that really helped me is in Mark chapter 5, where this woman came and touched the hem of Jesus' garment, and she was miraculously healed. And there's a number of things here that has really helped me understand and apply healing to myself. So let me just read this to you. In Mark chapter 5 and in verse 25, it says, "There was a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." Now, there's a lot of things in here. And again, just because of the length of this program, I'm not going to be able to cover all of them in depth. That's the reason that I offer this book that'll have more teaching on this, and it'll go into a lot more depth. And I encourage you to please take advantage. I'm making that a free offer to people. But let me just go back and show you some things. And the point I'm wanting to try and get across is that there are laws that govern healing. Now, this is really important that you understand this. Most people see God as a person who, if He wanted to, He could just heal you. I've had so many people come to me and talk to me about somebody they prayed for who died, and they said, "We just don't understand it. If God wanted to, He could have healed him." Do you know that's not true? God has established laws. Just as there are physical laws, such as, you know, you drop something. If I was to pick this Bible up and just let it go, I guarantee it's going to fall down because of a law of gravity. If gravity worked right here, but it didn't work on the other side of the world, it wouldn't be a law. It'd be a phenomenon. It'd be an exception. A law is something that is constant. It's something that's universal. It's something that just doesn't change. You know, we had a major plane crash here in Colorado Springs back, I think it was 30 years ago or something like that, and the plane was banking to land at the airport, and all of a sudden it actually sped up and just went straight into the ground. And they didn't find any more of that plane than just maybe a little section like this. The thing just completely was obliterated. And they brought in the TSA, and they did this evaluation on it for years. And finally, they just came up and said that they don't know what caused it. They said that there was unknown causes. And later, they finally, this is where they came up with the thing about wind shear. And now it's an established fact, and they recognize that sometimes there's just these vertical currents that will actually throw a plane into the ground. But at the time, they didn't know about that. But my point is that, see, when they came in, they tried to find out, was it pilot error? Was it a mechanical failure? Was it this? Was it that? And they looked at all these things. But nobody questioned, did gravity just spike and become like 10 times normal at that moment? See, they didn't even consider something like that because gravity is a law. It's something that is consistent. It doesn't spike. When a person falls off of a skyscraper and stuff, and people say, "Well, why did they splat on the ground?" Well, God could have stopped that. No, there are laws. There's natural laws that govern how things work in the physical realm. And people understand that. If you walk off a 10-story building, you should expect to hit the ground because there is a law of gravity. And most people understand that in the natural, but when it comes to spiritual things, they just think that God can do whatever He wants to. And that, you know, it's just, if God wanted to, He could have healed this person. I actually have some friends that said in a book that they wrote about it, they said that they were angry at God because God could have healed this person. That's not true. God has established laws. You know, if a person walks off a 10-story building and hits the ground, God could have suspended gravity and have saved that person. But if He had done that, well, then how many people would have been killed by all of a sudden they were driving on a road and they were expecting gravity to hold them on the curve, and instead they just float off into space and run into a building or a tree or something like that. If God would suspend these natural laws and stuff, it might save one person, but it'd kill others. God has established things, and they are going to stay that way. There's going to be spring and summer and winter and fall, and this is just the way that God created things. The sun is going to come up. God is not going to change those things. And in the spiritual realm, there are also laws that govern how God's power flows. You know, another example of this is like electricity. And electricity flows through copper better than it flows through wood. And there's people that work with wood better than they do copper. Wood is cheaper than copper, and so they might think, "Well, I don't want to use copper. I'm going to use wood to wire my house." But did you know electricity won't flow through wood the same way it flows through copper? And it doesn't matter what you want. It doesn't matter what you think. You have to learn what the laws of God are, and you have to learn to cooperate with them. It's the same thing in the spiritual realm. God has established laws of how His power flows. And you can see this in this instance, because this woman didn't come up and ask Jesus for healing. Nobody pointed her out to Him. He didn't approach her. He was just walking along, and she touched the hem of His garment, and when she did, the power flowed, just like electricity. You know, the electric company doesn't single out a person. If they grab a live wire and if they are grounded, the electric company doesn't single them out and send that electricity to shock them and possibly kill them. There's just laws that govern how electricity works. There are laws that govern how God's healing power flows. And it's not a personal decision. It's not God looking at you and thinking, you aren't worthy, I don't love you enough, and that's the reason that I hadn't healed you. No, there are laws. God loves us. God wants every single one of us well. But if that healing isn't manifesting itself, it's not because God doesn't will it. It's not because God doesn't love you. It's because there are laws that govern how His power flows. And see, that's what happened with this woman. When she touched the hem of His garment, that power just flowed. And He turned around and said, "Who touched me?" And you know, there's a lot of people that think, well, that's a rhetorical question. God knows everything, so He knew everything. I believe that Jesus was God in His spirit, but in His physical body. He wasn't born full grown. He was born a little baby. He had to learn how to walk and talk and to feed Himself, control Himself. It says in 2nd chapter of Luke, verse 52, how that He increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Jesus had to grow in His physical body and in His mental mind. Now, in His spirit, I believe He could have drawn on the gifts of the Holy Spirit and He could have figured out who this woman was. But the point I'm making is when He said, "Who touched me?" He meant just exactly what He said. Who touched me? And this is significant because He didn't see her coming. He didn't size her up. He didn't decide, "You're worthy. Your faith is strong." No, there's just laws. Like you touch a live wire, and I guarantee you, you're going to be shocked if you're grounded. That's just the way that it works. And faith can reach out, and you can literally make the power of God flow. It's not Him just sitting there looking and evaluating you and making a personal decision on, "I want this one healed, and I don't want this one healed because they aren't worthy yet." See, if you don't understand that there are laws that govern how the power of God flows, then you'll take any kind of delay in your manifestation or a person dying that you've prayed for, and you'll look at that and think, well, God could have done something different. But no, He couldn't, because He's holy and He's established certain laws. It says in James chapter 4, verse 7, one of those laws is, it says, "You submit yourselves therefore unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." That's a law of God. Anything that's written in the Word, He binds Himself by His Word. Psalms chapter 89, verse 34 says, "My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone forth out of my lips." When God says something, it becomes a covenant. It becomes binding to Him. So when God said, "You resist the devil, and he will flee from you," that means you have to resist the devil. The word resist means to actively fight against. You have to resist the devil. For you to say, "Oh God, get the devil off my back. Oh God, please set me free from this demonic sickness that I've got." That's not you resisting the devil. That's you asking God to resist the devil for you. You have to resist the devil. You have to take your authority. Like it says in Mark chapter 11, verse 23, Jesus said, "Whosoever will say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." You have to speak to the mountain instead of speaking to God about your mountain. Instead of saying, "Oh God, please move this mountain. Please move this sickness out of my life." No, you have to talk to the sickness and say, "In the name of Jesus, I cast you out. I resist you." See, those are laws of God. And there are many good people who desire the right thing, and they're praying and asking God to resist the devil for them. They're asking God to remove the sickness instead of them speaking directly to their mountain. Those are laws of God. So again, real quickly, just for time's sake, I'm going to have to go through some things quickly, but it says that this woman heard of Jesus. The Bible says in Romans 10, 17, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." So you have to hear the Word of God in order for faith to come to you. So that was one of the laws. People are perishing because they don't know the truth. John 17:17 says, "Thy word is truth." And so you've got to know the truth of God's word. And if you don't hear it, well, then you aren't going to have faith. So that's one of the laws. You got to hear the word of God, not just with your ears, but with your heart. And then she came in the press behind. She had to act on her faith. And it says in James chapter 2, verse 20, "But won't you know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead." There are people that hear the word of God and they hear that God heals, but then they aren't going to act on it. They're going to act contrary to it. They're going to still act sick. If somebody asks them how they're doing, they're just going to continue to say, "Well, the doctor says I'm dying." But this woman, she heard, she acted, and she said, notice this next thing here. It says, "When she had heard of him, she came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, 'If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole.'" Boy, here's one of the laws of God that has really made a difference in my life, and that is that faith is voice activated. Did you know when God created the heavens and the earth, God said, "Let there be light." God said, "Let the earth bring forth." God said, "Let us make man." Every time God released his power, God spoke his faith. In Psalms chapter 91, it says, "He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." And then verse 2 says, "I will say of the Lord." And then it lists all of these promises in the rest of Psalms 91 about no plague will come nigh our dwelling. Only with our eyes will we see the reward of the wicked, and on it goes. But all of them are dependent upon you dwelling in the secret place. That's having relationship with the Lord and saying of the Lord. Faith is voice activated. This woman said, "If I can touch but the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole." And man, I could literally spend probably a week of these 30-minute programs talking about the importance of words. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Proverbs 18:21 says that. "And they that love it will eat the fruit thereof." You have death and life in your tongue. I had a man come to me one time and he says, "I know all of the things that you teach. I've heard you talk about this and I understand that it's God's will to heal, but I just don't have any power." And man, immediately I referred him to Psalms chapter 18, verse 20, or Proverbs 18:21, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." And I said, "You got power in your tongue, and right here you are using that power for evil instead of good. You are saying that you don't have any power when the Bible says that faith is the victory that overcomes the world," and on and on. And so I said, "You are using power in a negative way by confessing these negative things." People don't realize this, but you know, they'll go to the doctor and then friends will ask you, "So what did the doctor say?" And you'll just report what the doctor says, that, you know, "I'm dying. I've only got 6 months to live." And you don't understand, but you're hung by your tongue. We need to start speaking what God's word says about us. We need to start speaking what we believe. And again, I could probably spend a week or more trying to put this in its proper perspective, because I am not saying that you sit there and just lie and say, "I don't have a problem. There's nothing wrong with me," when the truth is your body's hurting. You may have a cancer. You may have in the natural only 6 months to live. I'm not saying that you deny that you are having a problem, but you have to counter those negative things with the positive truth of what God's word says. You know, in the 11th chapter of the book of John, Jesus' good friend Lazarus died, and he was sent messengers telling him to please come and pray for Lazarus so that he wouldn't die, and he refused to do it for 2 days. And then after 2 days, he told his disciples, he said, "Let us go. Lazarus is asleep, and I go that I may awake him out of his sleep." And Jesus knew that he had already died, but he was referring to it as sleep. Not because he was lying about the thing, but from his perspective. You know, death is nothing more than just laying down in this body and waking up in heaven. I believe he intentionally didn't use the word dead because to humans, to sinful human beings who are riddled with unbelief, death is just final, and it would have hurt the disciples' faith. And so he referred to it as sleep. Lazarus is asleep. that I'm going to awake him out of sleep. Well, they knew that Lazarus had been sick, and so they said, well, if he's asleep, that's good. Rest is good for him. And when Jesus understood that they were misunderstanding what he was saying, he said plainly, Lazarus is dead. So he admitted and spoke the natural truth, but he goes right into the next thing, but I am glad for your sakes that I wasn't there so that you might believe. So see, he didn't deny that there was a physical problem, but he countered it by saying, but I am glad for your sakes that I wasn't there so that you might believe. He spoke his faith on top of that. So it's not wrong for you to say that there's a problem, but I believe that God is changing this thing around. The problem is most of us will say, well, I know that the Word of God says I'm healed, but, and then you will speak the problem, and the problem gets more attention, more preeminence than the Word of God. So I'm not saying that you deny that you have a problem, but you have to deny that that's all there is. You might say, well, the doctor says it's incurable, but God has healed me by His stripes, and that's what I believe, and that's what I'm sticking with. See, this woman, she had not denying that she had a problem, but she said, if I can touch but the hem of His garment, I shall be made whole. So here's already three little laws that we've talked about. She first of all had to hear. Then she had to act on that and start doing something. I even could expound on that and saying she had to act on it in an aggressive way. Because did you know a person with an issue of blood in the Jewish culture, according to the laws that were in the book of Moses in Leviticus, if a person with an issue of blood touched another person, well, then that other person would become unclean. So because of that, people with an issue of blood had to yell unclean, and people gave them a wide berth. And so for this woman to be in a crowd like where everybody is thronging Jesus and touching Him, and for her to push through there and to touch the hem of His garment, you know, that was down all the way to the ground. That means that in my way of thinking, she probably was crawling through that crowd on her hands and knees to touch the hem of His garment. She had probably touched a lot of people. And for her to do that, if people would have known what was wrong with her, they could have stoned her to death. So she was acting on the Word of God, but she was acting on the Word of God in an aggressive way. She was aggressive with her faith. And there's some people that will act in agreement with the Word of God to a degree, but if somebody is going to push back real hard, if somebody's going to counter them, they just fold. You know, we've got a lot of testimonies on our website of healing journeys, people that have been miraculously healed. And I can think of Trina Porter, Bud Boop, and other people that their mates were in the hospital and the doctor said there was no chance of them living, and yet they got aggressive. Bud actually told the doctors, if you're going to say anything about my wife, you leave this room. You get out of here and you say it in the hall. And they played Christian music, Christian teaching in that room. They had things up. They had to be aggressive. And the doctors even went to one of Bud's friends and talked to him about, you need to talk to your friend because he's in denial. He doesn't understand that his wife will never recover. But see, he was aggressive in his faith, and because of that, Gina is completely healed today. And I saw her not long ago, and I mean, she was raised up off her deathbed. So the same thing with Alistair Porter over in Scotland, I think it was. And he was raised up because of Trina, and just on and on and on you could go. You have to have an aggressive faith. You can't be passive. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 11, I think it's around verses 11 or 12, it says, since the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of heaven is preached, and the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. What that's talking about is that you've got to be violent. You've got to get to where I am not going to take no for an answer. Not in the sense that you're demanding God to do something, but you know God's already done it, and if there is any hindrance, it's not God, it's the devil that's fighting against you, and you aren't going to allow anything or anybody to step in and counter your faith. So this woman heard, she acted on her faith in an aggressive way. She spoke out of her mouth and began to speak that by the stripes of Jesus, she was healed. And because of that, when she touched the hem of His garment, that power flowed without Jesus sizing her up. It wasn't Him that said, all right, you're worthy, I'm going to let this power flow. No, there's just laws that govern it. And when you get in agreement and start cooperating with the laws that God has put down, I guarantee you the supernatural power of God will flow in your life. And I've only talked about three or four, if you include, you know, speaking to your mountain and resisting the devil from James 4:7, well, then maybe five of those laws. I probably could name 100 laws, things that are just things that allow God's power to flow. And I've only dealt with just a very few of them here on this program, but I promise you that the Word of God has an answer. So everything that you need to know is in this book. Every law about how God's power flows and how you can receive it and how you can activate it, it's in this book. Did you know people could have been flying airplanes back 2,000 years ago, but they didn't understand the laws that governed it? It's not that, you know, aerodynamics just came into being in the last 100 or so years. No, it's been here since the beginning of creation. The law of electricity has been here since the beginning of creation, but people didn't understand the laws. They didn't know how to take advantage of what God had created. Likewise, the body of Christ as a whole is ignorant of the laws that govern how God's power flows. And that's the reason that we're having these daily Bible studies, is just be able to share the Word of God with you and help you to understand. So again, I'm offering my book. This is a free offer to you. And this is just special to those of you who are watching Charis Daily. And we encourage you to call. We got a number on the screen. You can also go to charisdailygtn.com and you can get information not only about this, but about other products that we have. And also, I'd like to encourage you that our archives have all of the different teachers and instructors from Charis that have been teaching here on Charis Daily, and you can go back and listen to them. And we're doing it by theme for an entire month. Each one of us are teaching on healing and on different aspects. And I really believe that if you were to go back and listen to this, and if you have to, listen to it more than once. Take all of these and listen to them. And if you do that, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, and I believe that it will release the supernatural power of God in your life. It's just as simple as just reaching out and making that connection, and the power of God will flow just like it did for this woman with the issue of blood. Man, that's good news. God is no respecter of persons. He loves you, and God wants you well, and we want you well. Please call that number. You can receive prayer 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and we would love to pray with you and help you in any way we can. And also, please take advantage of this free offer that I'm making and all of the other things at charisdailygtn.com. And then join us again tomorrow. We do this 7 days a week, our Charis Daily, where we're teaching from the Word of God truths that will set you free. So God bless you. Thank you for joining us. Join us again tomorrow for another Charis Daily.